The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. So how's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I am in a brief pause in between different sections of the Standing Tall Together tour. We were in Boston, then Battle Creek, Grand Rapids, Gilda's Laugh Fest, the first festival the show's been in, which is in honor of Gilda Radner. Like, what an honor to be literally like comedy legend, icon, someone I look up to at her festival. Super cool. And then in Chicago, and we're about to go. Wait, and I was in Atlanta too. We did a Misfit Variety Show, like community open mic. I hosted a night there. And then I am in Orlando next Thursday and April 2nd, which should come out right around there. So if you hear this, tell your friends in Orlando. And then Philadelphia, April 17th, New York, April 16th. It's been a blast. It's been incredible. I am really humbled and honored at how many people have come out for it. I feel like the message is resonating. The whole point of the show is that like you can be in a community and still also be unique and have your uniqueness be celebrated and honored. And it's okay to be different. It really is okay to be different. And it makes me so sad that like we have regressed to the point that actually just being different is a radical act. But here we are and we're doing it. We're out there where people are really, I see like it's so cool. The beginning of the show, people are like, come in and they're just not sure what this thing is. And they are dipping their toe in, but interested to see what's up. And then by the end of the show, their eyes are shining. They are like awake. And it's been an honor to be able to usher them through that experience. So yay. And we're gonna continue the party here today on Misfits Making It. We have Robert Brooks Cohen, who is a writer, comedian, creator, coach, author, and let's not forget, podcaster. He has a podcast called Two By Guys, by One By Guy. We'll talk all about that. And then we're gonna do some Misfit melodrama, where we respond and riff on audience submitted stories. Now, before we go into that, reminder, please rate and review the podcast because social proof is super important for Misfits because Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. Also, you can sign up at laurenlogie.com where you can get updates on a monthly basis. And hey, you can also sponsor a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals or small companies. So go to Lauren Lojudice, click on laurenlogie.com, laurenlogi.com. I wouldn't make you do Lojudice. Lauren Logie. Let's keep it simple. LaurenLogie.com. Click on listen and podcast and contact us there. All right. So let's go into the Misfit melodrama with Robert Cohen. So Robert Cohen, thank you so much for joining us at Misfits Making It.
Hi, hello. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
I love it. Coming from Two By Guys podcast.
Yes, Two By Guys now by One By Guy. The other By Guy disappeared.
But I
didn't want to change the name. So
I think it's so funny. I think that's great. I was like, Two By Guys by One By Guy. I didn't know if it was like just for now or like it's forever. Yeah. Okay.
It was like there was one thing that defined our show. We were Two By Guys and we talked about anything, but then we were not Two By Guys anymore.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So I love your podcast because it seems like a one-stop shop for bisexuals.
That's a nice way to put it. Maybe I should make that the subtitle. Yeah. I mean, over the years, it has kind of become about everything, even a little bit related to bisexuality. Like we started really, that was our main topic. And it's kind of branched out a little as my interests have evolved, but it's still like always kind of staying true to this like non-binary worldview that we talked about a lot at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. You like, you have like academics to talk about like books they've written. And then you'll like also do live interviews at like some sort of sex party, fuck fest, the bisexual, what is it? BFF?
Bisexual fuck fest. Yeah.
Yeah. Bi fuck fest. And then you're like, also I do coaching. It's so great.
Yeah. Coach everything in between, like the most like serious episodes and intense topics and research and studies down to like, sharing weird sex stories. And the podcast led me to a coaching practice because people were coming, you know, looking for this kind of like,
oh, wow.
Help, and they were looking for support and looking for help. And after a few years of the podcast, I realized like, oh, I actually could work with people one-on-one. So now, wow, I'm doing, you know, integrating coaching into the podcast.
Whoa. So people are were literally like, can you help me? Like, how did that work? How did that go down?
I mean, it was almost like I was just getting tons of DMs at the first few years of the podcast. It would be, you know, stuff like, thank you for this podcast. No one's ever talked about this. Or a lot of people would tell me their whole life story in a Instagram DM to be like, no one's ever told my story, but I'm also a bi guy married to a woman and I'm only out to this many people. And da-da-da. Like, I would just get dozens and dozens and dozens of these stories. And I would write back. I always write back, but I didn't really get into it with a lot of people. But I started to realize like, a lot of these guys feel alone, or they're in having this experience. They don't know other bi men. They don't get to talk about it with many people. Most bi guys are not out. Only like 15% of bi men are actually out. So just through all those messages, I realized, oh, this is a community that needs support. And once I started, then I wrote my book. I wrote a book about this. I realized that was very coaching related. And then I just kind of slowly realized I was doing the things that a life coach does. So I might as well be a life coach.
Right. I love it. You've misfit and you've made it. We love that. Okay. So, cause it's like, it's so cool. You like your podcast created your job, which is like, and I think it says something about your ethos and your ethic. Like you're just so you're there. Like, I just love your spirit of curiosity and questioned and like just coming at it really earnestly. And like, you're not like, hey, I have this thing, which I think will get me famous, or I'm trying, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, hopefully it will make me famous, but like that, you know, the reason we started it was because my friend Alex and I, the other bi guy, we no one was talking about this stuff. Like, we met at this bi discussion group, we were talking about it. It was so liberating and healing for us, and we didn't find anyone on the internet talking about male bisexuality specifically. So we were like, let's create the thing we wanted to listen to. And that's all, you know, it's not like I don't make much money from the podcast.
Right.
Here and there, we've done a few ads, but like, I'm not living on it. I'm doing it because I want to talk about it and there's a need for it out there. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And of course, you will get famous off it. But what I meant is like, there's people like sometimes create concepts for that. You came through it very earnestly, like in a very personal, real reason.
Yeah, it's definitely like the most true thing to me that I like to talk about now, but was difficult for me and that wasn't really out there at the time we started. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, we have some misfit melodrama right now. So I'm going to start. I'll do one or two and then I'm going to bring on my character, Carmela Ravoli. She's in from Boca Raton, Florida, and she would love to talk to you.
Lovely. Okay. I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah. So here we go. Here's a question. This is a question about like unforgettable family experiences. And so someone says, one time my granddad set the Christmas table on fire by knocking over a Santa candle and nobody really cared.
Okay.
I love this. Is so funny. Like,
that's it. That's the whole thing.
That's it. People, because I have so many questions. Because it's like, wait a minute. You mean, like,
nobody cared?
The fire just raged.
Yeah, nobody cared about the fire or about
nobody cared that
it was a Santa candle or
right.
Which part did no one care about?
That grandpa was maybe drunk? Is that what happened?
Can you read it one more time?
Okay, one time my granddad set the Christmas table on fire by knocking over a Santa candle and nobody really cared.
Okay. I kind of feel like that's a pretty good reaction. Like, don't overreact. Yeah. Grandpa knocks over a candle. Like, okay, as long as the house isn't on fire.
Right.
It's okay.
You know, I think the main thing is too, like, don't overreact when things, like little things break. It's not a big deal. Like my dad used to make such a, because I am a klutz and I break a lot of stuff, but I was dissociating. So, you know, it happens. It all comes together. Natural and social come into play. And I still, my dad would like flip out when I would break stuff. So I used to like, still like, I would go like this when I would break stuff. And only I think in the last year, I'm like, oh, I broke something. It's not a big deal. Just put it in a bag, throw it out.
Yeah, you know what's more traumatizing to children than breaking something is parents overreacting to breaking something. Because then you develop these tensions around being a certain way and not doing anything wrong. And like, you know, sometimes like it's okay if there's a little fire at the Christmas table or whatever.
Yeah. Let it rage. Maybe. Grandpa is setting the tone.
Right.
For this.
Maybe there's a reason some things need to be broken.
Yeah.
Make space for something new.
I love it. So this person says, like, what makes this person a misfit is they mean what they say and they're dumbfounded every time people don't. And they also feel like the love for books is not just a pose. I would actually prefer the company of a good books over the people of a company of phony people. And they feel like a misfit because of that.
Mm. Interesting.
Wow. You know, it's funny, often like what we talk about in the podcast somehow comes up in the following questions, which is the magic. And we were just talking about how you come at things earnestly and authentically to what you're talking about on your podcast. And this person hates the phony people. And I think that is a thing in this world. Like, people are sick of it.
Absolutely. Like what that person said is very deep and makes perfect sense. And it's like, if we're taught to conform so much and we live in like a very, not only heteronormative society, but like you really have to conform in other ways too, outside of sexuality in order to fit in. And most people do it. Because that's what we're taught and that's what kind of benefits you on a surface level. But actually, it doesn't quite benefit you inside, like spiritually and mentally. And being your true authentic self is what's really beneficial to you and healing and for you and the world. And so this person is doing that and finding that that makes them an outcast or a misfit, which is true, but is also like so much better.
Yeah, so it's much so much more better. You're like, I love books and I just rather like to read a book than deal with some fake ass person. And like, you actually have taste.
Yeah. Well, and most books, I mean, not all books, but a lot of books are like something authentic to the person that wrote it, even if they're like weird and different. Or like, in fact, that's what makes a book do well, is if it's like different and something new. And so that's much more real a lot of the time than what you get by going out for drinks with your friends where everyone is trying to kind of fit in.
Yes.
Not
Bravo. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's bring Carmela here. She really wants to come out because Carmela does. She's in Boca Raton, Florida. And that is not far from Fort Lauderdale. And she has a nephew over in Fort Lauderdale, she'll tell you about. So
I can't wait. Hello.
Okay. All right. So, Robert, nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to meet you too. Hello. Oh, wow.
So I love it. Your shirt right now is giving over superhero vibes. I love it. The bisexual superhero, Robert Cohen.
Well,
you heard it here first. You heard it here first. And you get fairy dust to the themes of the podcast. So listen.
Thank you.
So, okay. So I love the gays. I go out with my nephew all the time, gay nephew all the time in Fort Lauderdale. So, you know, they're at the club, they do the drugs, I just smoke in everyone's face.
You must have seen some crazy things going to the gay clubs in Florida.
Oh, I've seen some great Miami. We'll drive down to Miami sometimes. That's a good time. I listened with Lauren. I listened to the bisexual fuckfest thing. I was like, it's called Miami Fuckfest. Every day is a fuckfest in Miami.
Oh, yeah?
We'll give that a horn. Okay. All right. So... Listen, Robert. Okay. Well, I have questions for you, but I love the buys. Okay. I think it's more, they're all, you know, sometimes the gays are afraid of the buys. And I think everyone should just hang out and get the fuck over yourself. Let anyone bang whoever they want. You're at the fuck fest. Yeah, how dare you? You're at a fuck fest in Miami at some hotel room with the 85 penises around you. Why are you judging people? Give me
exactly. When everyone's naked and in, you know, in the middle of a fuck fest, what does the label matter at all? Gay, bi, straight,
right? And also, like, you're doing things that are freaky too. So why are you trying to, like, all of a sudden become, you know, judgmental of other people? You're a freako too. Just support other freakos, you know?
Exactly. You know, the ones that are the most judgmental, I always say they have the biggest secrets. Like, they have some kink that they don't want people to know about. That's why they're judging other people so hard. But they should share it too, you know, who cares?
Right. It is always that way, right? It's always like the people, you know, so I am holier than thou, or ridiculous. Give me a break. You know, when I do people in the old people's homes, I'm like, you know, they're all saying, I love this buzzer. Every time they say something judgmental about, the kids and the trans, and I want to go like this. Stop. Yeah. Stop it.
That's good. You got to walk around with the buzzer.
I'm going to walk around with the buzzer. Stop it. No, stop it talking. Stop talking. Yes. The main thing is, my whole thing is, everyone just go out and do whatever. Just do whatever.
Exactly.
Just do whatever.
Me too.
Yeah, so that's right. The two bi guys by one bi guy. Okay.
I do whatever I want and see where it leads me.
Yeah, see where it leads. Okay. Half-sister who I've never met reached out on 23andMe. I left her unread. She said unread, which is sad for the U.S. education system. But I think it was unread.
Though this is like a new slang thing that young people say, like leaving on red or like, I don't totally get it, but it's like the little thing that says you read the message, but you didn't reply or whatever.
Right, right. So they call it on read?
Yeah. I think this is how the young people talk. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm not, I don't know anymore. I crossed 40, so I don't understand how people talk anymore.
But right, I know. Okay. All right. The on read. The bar to be old is getting lower. I was at a thing. I heard someone say, I'm making fun of people over 25. I was like, oh my goodness. Well, I have more people for me in my community, the olds.
When there's like 20 something year olds who are like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I made nothing of my life. I have no career. I'm like, you're 26. It's okay. Yeah.
I know someone's telling me, a little Gen Z friend of mine was like, my friend's freaking out. She graduated from college. She wrote two plays, applied them in three fellowships, and she feels like a failure. She wants to give up. I said, you know what? Maybe she should. Because if that's a fucking attitude, then it's fucking la-di-da, become an accountant. Even though now those are AI'd out. So I don't know what you can do.
Yeah, true. There's no more work anyway. We'll all be doing OnlyFans soon.
Right. That's right. Okay. Well, the bi guy, that's, you can coach OnlyFans. I'm sure you know how to do the things.
I can coach you on OnlyFans. Yeah. Anyone who wants to.
Okay. All right. So you heard it here first. We have it here. We have...
I'm an OnlyFans coach now. Yeah.
All right. That's we're all going to be coaching OnlyFans or doing it. Like, the thing is, you know, anyway, I don't want to go into that. Cancel that.
If you want to start one, I can help you set it up.
I'm too tired. I'm a boomer. So I got my social security and my husband's pension and I'm doing just fine. And I'll just support everyone else doing it. That's good. That's
okay.
Nice.
Okay.
I think it's good. Thank you though. Appreciate that. You're very generous.
You're welcome.
Okay. Here's one. An unforgettable family experience is a half sister who I've never, she's unread. I read the same thing twice. Anyway, they left it unread. You know, listen, you left it unread. You're kind of a little bit of a jerk. That's your sister, okay? But yeah. Maybe you're not ready to. And at that other end, I think then you're not ready to. But also know your sister's hurt from that. So I remember know
you
that.
You should reply to stuff. Don't leave it unread or unread, whatever it is. Just make a little reply and be like, I can't help you right now. Sorry, but
that's the thing.
I saw this.
Right. You can say I have a boundary. It doesn't make you a bad person.
Yes.
What makes it more difficult and morally gray area is if you leave it unread, you are putting the question in people's minds, why not?
Right. Right. You're setting a boundary without explaining what it is and leaving it
right.
up to the interpretation, which isn't actually a very strong boundary. It's a very weak boundary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it people in these situations of like lost family want answers and people want to ignore them. So it's a very particular, not replying to things sometimes, in certain situations, maybe it's the right move, but know that it's extra hurtful when you don't do mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
This one.
Yep. People
if I
wonder.
May be sincere. Okay. Well, I love this. What makes you a misfit? My brain. Oh my goodness. Three cheers to that. Do you feel like your brain's a misfit?
I guess so. I mean, I do feel it's different than other people's, and I'm really trying to explore it lately more than I guess most people like to do. But again, it goes back to that thing of like, I feel it's healthier.
What are you trying to explore? This is interesting.
Well, I've been doing a lot of in therapy for many years coming out, but then lately I've been doing a lot of plant medicine, like mushrooms and ayahuasca. Mm. Have you ever
psychedelics? Well, I did the mushrooms. I don't do that. I don't do that. I just drink.
I didn't think it was for you. It's not for everyone.
No, that's not for me. Ayahuasca. Okay. I don't want Lauren to do that. This is too
much. It's intense,
but it's changed my
mind, and I both feel better and more calm and complete and connected to the universe, and also it's alienated me from other people to some extent because I'm beginning to notice the difference of people who don't look inward ever.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So do you not reply to their texts?
No, I always reply. I never leave someone on read. I would never do that.
Oh, wow. Such a good boy. Yes. So, all right. So, wow.
I'm a nice Jewish boy, NJB.
Yes. So, we had Mia, Mi-Oak Icaro on the show, and she does plant medicine in Mexico. You might want to listen to it. It's interesting. She talks a little bit about them. She does are you administering? She administers. She oversees and does the whole thing.
I don't administer yet, but I'm exploring. I'm exploring how to integrate that into my coaching practice at some point.
Wow.
In the future.
Wow. Yeah. You're going to have the Bifuck Fest ayahuasca experience.
That, hey, there you go. That's what we need.
That's the ticket. There you go. Okay, here we go. So this is, I stole a white pit bull from a drug dealer. I had a black Rottweiler. I dyed the white dog black so the drug dealer wouldn't notice it. It turned purple. I went to King County Jail. I don't even know what to say.
What?
That is.
This is real?
People tend to be very honest in these things. You know, this is something, if you're from Delaware County, we know some people in Delaware County from this, Delco, they call it. I don't know if you've been around that part of outside of Philadelphia. This is some Philly shit, is what I'm trying to say. This is something that would happen in Philly.
Yes. Yes, I went to school in Philly, so I, yes, that tracks.
Oh, where'd you go to school in Philly?
UPenn.
You're very smart. Yes. So,
but there's lots of spray painted dogs around that time. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah, really? All over. Purple dogs. Yeah, everywhere in Philly, everyone's painting their dogs. Yeah.
Really? No, weird. You're lying.
No.
You're lying.
No, I'm lying. But it does sound like something that would happen.
It sounds
some
Philly
there.
Shit. Yeah. But it sounds like also South Philly. It's called Delco, Delaware, and then you go down further south from there, Delaware County, and that's like the Philly shit of the Philly shit. The Wawa eating the stuff over the garbage can.
Yeah, sounds right.
Okay, but because the thing is, you know, Philly's so crazy. You're like everyone was painting their door, spray painting their dogs. I'm thinking maybe it's true because that's Philly. Okay,
yeah, probably is true.
I could maybe think about it. Oh, maybe it was a trend. Philly is is one of the craziest cities in the United States. I really do think that is one of the craziest.
It is. It's insane.
It's the only city in maybe the world to bomb its own citizens.
Did they do that?
Yes, they did. They did a 60s, 70s. I just learned about it. Yeah, they bombed something. I don't know the full details, but they dropped bombs on citizens.
Oh my God. Don't do that. That doesn't seem very brotherly love-ish.
And they had some, maybe the brotherly love was ironic the whole time. We had no idea. Yeah,
I guess so. It's cover for bombing each other.
Yeah, it blew up a block because it hit like a gas thing and it blew up the whole block. Yeah.
That's
Philly,
well,
we love you, Philly. You're special in your own way. Okay, I dated a guy with suffering tattoo on his back, devil's claw on his shoulder, dragon on his heart. My friend said if he had tragedy on his forehead, I would have said he is so deep and misunderstood.
Okay.
Friend wasn't being very supportive. Okay. Supportive friends.
Am I supposed to give this person advice or like, what are they looking for by writing this to you?
I know. I'm not sure how they feel about it. They're like,
maybe everything's cool. This sounds fine.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, fine. So the guy has a lot of tattoos. So what? So does everyone.
Yeah.
What's the big deal?
I guess. But do you have a tattoo?
I have no tattoos. I can't do it. I have too many wrinkles. I can't. It's just like one big crepe.
You could incorporate the wrinkles into the design.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. Okay.
I don't have any either.
You don't have any tattoos. Nice Jewish boy. Look at you.
Yeah, I know. I kind of want one, but then I can't be buried with my family. But maybe I don't want to be buried with my family. So we'll see.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The evolving TBD. Decision. Yeah.
TBD. TBD. Well, you know, I think it's like this person is unsure. They did that and they loved it. They dated. So they liked the person enough. And then the person was saying, oh, you know, you just fell for this guy who was an idiot. And if he had tragedy in his forehead, you're going to say, oh, he's deep. Like, I guess you saw the tattoos. You thought he was cool. And if he has it on his forehead, you're going to think he's deep. Your friend sucks. How about that? Your friend's an asshole.
I feel like if you have anything tattooed on your forehead, I wouldn't describe you as deep because you haven't fully thought that through, have you? Like, if you're really thinking deeply, you would think about the ways in which a forehead tattoo would not benefit you forever.
100%. And it's like, oh, I got a forehead, you know, your forehead tattoo. It's like, you know, obvious. It's Captain Obvious. It's just not subtle. Or it's like, what is this? I got to just say it out loud and it literally put it in your face. Well, are we that stupid? Yeah. We need to just say it right here.
Well, and to go back to bisexuality, which is about fluidity and change and a realization that things are changeable and your identity can shift. You know, I live with that reality of fluidity. And so I would never put something at least right up there because what if I want to change my mind about that?
Right.
That's a tough one.
Yes, absolutely. It's a tough one. And I will say, like, if you are out there and you have a tattoo on your forehead, go for it. We love you. We love you. Do all your things. You have five tattoos up there. Whatever. We don't care. Do what do you. That's the point is what we try to say here.
If that's authentic to you, do it. Yeah. Maybe some people are fixed and they know what they want, and good for you.
Right. And good for you. But also, you know, if you're dating someone, you're trying to evaluate character, and you have to say like, okay, so what does that mean about them? Everything, you can't trust no one. You meet someone, you got to think of everything, the shoes they wear, the car they drive. Not to say, oh, is it expensive or whatever, but it's taste.
Yes. Yes. Ask them. Right. Exactly. Yes. Why do you like all these things? You got to find out if they really have taste. Yeah.
Yes. What's there? What makes them tick? It's all the things.
Indeed.
Listen, Robert, it's happy hour. It's happy hour somewhere. So I'm going to go have a martini. Okay.
I love it.
You've been so cute. Pinch your cheeks. Okay. I'll see you later. Keep being your bye self. Okay. Bye.
So nice to meet you. You too. I'll see you at BFF.
Bye, guy. One bye, guy. Okay. Bye. All right.
Wow.
Okay.
That was fun. Karma. She's lovely.
She's a hoot. She's so fun. She's part of the Misfit Variety Show every time.
And love
people,
it.
Like, there is a thought maybe we should make a whole show around her, but that's TBD. But you know what? Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are good in like short bits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want it's some like, variety. I like it.
Yeah. It's like sometimes she's a particular flavor, maybe best done sprinkled instead of poured on.
Indeed.
All right. So, Robert Cohen, where can we come find Two Bye Guys by One Bye Guy?
You can find it at twobyguys.com or also on every podcast platform, whatever you use. If you search Two Bye Guys, it'll come up. And my website is robertbrookscohen.com. It has stuff about the podcast, the book that's also about the same topic, and my coaching and my stand-up comedy, which is also very bisexual, stuff like
Hell
that.
Hell yeah. We love it. All right. Well, listen, Robert, thank you so much for coming to visit us. We'll see you soon. Hopefully thank around you. The comedy world. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
In the comedy world, at a fuckfest, wherever you see me, say hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, dude. There we have it. You can follow Misfits Making It on my social pages at Lauren Logi on all the things, Instagram especially, and also X Twitter thing and Threads and TikTok and YouTube Shorts and all the things. You can get updates and inside info by joining my email list at www.laurenlogi.com. Thank you to Ani Makutsian for editing, Edward Sheila at Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Thank you to Maureen Asiant for our new music and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast. And thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The proceeding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.